Get ready for Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith.
Rebecca Blacksmith.
Take a host with a few Ivy League graduate degrees, a room full of bright CEOs, and throw in a conversation about leadership. Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith. For all leaders listening right now.
Right now. Right now.
You're listening to Leaders Portfolio. I'm your host, Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith. We're in the midst of this year's Leaders Portfolio Awards, where we recognize top businesses and business leaders with their commitment to leadership. For information, leadersportfolio.com. I love these awards because we ask leaders to respond to a set of questions about ethics and leadership. And so we love doing these every year. Now, joining us in the Leaders Portfolio studio today is the president of Moodle Rooms, Mr. Lou Pugliese. Moodle Rooms is based in Baltimore. It was acquired by Blackboard in 2012. And is a provider of open-source online learning solutions to the education industry. Lou Pugliese also served as the former CEO of Blackboard, and he's a 2012 Maryland finalist for Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year. So welcome, Lou.
Thanks. Great to be here. Appreciate it.
Now, Moodle Rooms was first created in 2009, and explain what's unique about what you provide.
So Moodle Rooms was actually, you know, created in 2005 by a former educator in his basement who was working for a school district who was trying to help a school district use Moodle, an e-learning platform. And so it sort of grew organically, you know, from that environment. When I came in, we worked at improving the business model, improving the deliverable to the client, and really trying to make open source very useful to K-12 institutions and colleges around, you know, year-round. Really trying to take this open source environment and make it extremely useful, very creative, a variety of different features and functions that they didn't have in the open source, and really supporting their e-learning needs to try to get to where they really need to do, which is focus on teaching and learning.
And this open source shift is a big shift.
You see it just about in every industry. You see it in the content management consumer space. You see it in operating systems. You see it in, you know, back-end ERP architecture. In e-learning, absolutely, the open world, whether it's open content that's free and usable or open architecture and open software, absolutely, it's growing substantially. Moodle in particular is a good example. Moodle is used by about 58 million educators in about 220 countries. It's translated into 85 languages. So extremely pervasive, extremely viral in terms of the uptake from either individual educators or full institutions using it as a baseline e-learning platform.
And that's what attracted you to working at Moodle Rooms, right? Was the fact that it was open source and you thought it'd be interesting because it's a different way to not, you know, you have less staff in that capacity?
Yeah, the open source model was interesting to me because it wasn't really all about just proprietary software, you know, which, you know, is we make it, you buy it, you know, kind of approach. This was really a community contributor model, which means people who will actually use it contribute source code, they contribute content, they contribute a lot of assets that are useful by their peers, and it's really built and organized, you know, centrally in one location, in this case Perth, Australia, by a small team of developers. And so it becomes, you know, organic. It's really a demand side approach as opposed to a supply side for enterprise software.
Now, you were CEO of Blackboard from 1998 to 2000, and Moodle Rooms was just acquired by Blackboard this year. So in a way, you had an inside track into doing a deal. What was it like doing a deal on the other side of Blackboard?
Well, it's sort of back to the future for me now that I'm sort of working back at corporate. I think it's a true testament to people really, being interested in getting into the open source world, whether you're proprietary or not, right? So Blackboard, you know, has some things to prove because it doesn't come from that world. But, you know, the first step, you know, was acquiring the two largest, ours being the largest Moodle support provider in the world. And so it's unusual for me because in coming back to a company that's, you know, 10 times as large as when I was there, but certainly a significant amount of support resources we didn't necessarily have to be able to, you know, support continued growth.
Now, we're speaking with the president of Moodle Rooms, Mr. Lou Pugliese. And in 2001, you developed an investment thesis for educational technology sector investments when you worked as an entrepreneur in residence at Novak Biddle Venture Partners. So I have to ask you, it's been over a decade. Did your thesis hold true?
Well, not really, because, you know, at that time, that thesis was built on, you know, sort of post.com emerging disruptive companies, which there are very few and far between. And now in this day and age, certainly with the growth and pervasiveness of the internet, new technologies, the growth in mobile, you know, the social environment, the social learning environment we can now create is much more diverse. And so I kind of wish we had that type of environment back then. The economic indicators at that time around that thesis didn't really provide as many sustainable opportunities for venture investments and education at the time. They do more so now, although there's less capital available now.
So was this the first of you learning many times that you'd be wrong along the way?
Yeah, absolutely. You always think, you know, you know what you're doing, but the market tells you differently for sure.
And so your background is a bachelor's in broadcast communications from Penn State, and so you produced news for a while.
I did. You know, I was a journalist by trade and produced news and wrote news at a CBS O&O in Philadelphia, and I ran the production of a news program at an NBC affiliate in Roanoke, Virginia. So
Different markets.
Different markets, but still fast-paced business. Think on your feet. You know, have to create a lot of information, draw conclusions with a high degree of ambiguity, not unlike how it is to run a company, right? So
right.
It's very, very similar.
Do you think that was, like, great training ground? There's a tongue twister for what you're doing today.
Yeah, I think, you know, certainly thinking on your feet and, you know, trying to be 80% of the time being right with not a whole lot of information, with a lot of ambiguity, you know, that you've got good instinct on, you know, on certain types of stories or, in this case, businesses or directions in a product, for instance. And so that's one of the qualifiers, certainly, of being a CEO of a successful company.
And do your staff say you run around? Because, you know, news producers run around a lot, usually. Do you run around a lot?
You know, you really have to sort of manage on the floor. Absolutely. You do. You know, you do. I don't like to be stuck in an office on the phone anyway. So, you know, in this case at Moodle Rooms, there was a lot of really young, smart staff that, you know, were obviously very independent, but, you know, needed that relative reinforcement and contact and regular interaction that was really necessary to make them successful. So
interesting. Interesting. All right. We're speaking with Lou Pugliese, president of Moodle Rooms. Now, let's talk about, you know, the online education issue. It's an interesting issue. And myself being, you know, academic affiliated, it's something that we discuss. And so one of the things that's interesting is you started to see charter schools replace public schools in inner cities, right? Because people were criticizing that, you know, the performance measures are not strong, often, not all cities. And so I wondered if what we're going to see, or what I would guess, and give me your thoughts, is that we're going to start to see online education completely replacing poor performance measure schools, particularly, and they're usually associated with inner cities, unfortunately.
Well, you know, it certainly has a role to play. You know, it definitely has a role to play. And, you know, and you know, technology-enabled learning allows a teacher to intervene with a group of students in unique and different ways they didn't have an opportunity to do before. It's very, very difficult for an individual teacher to be able to teach and manage 30 different nervous systems in a classroom. Everybody's different. They learn different. But at the same time, you know, they do need, you know, tactile, you know, types of contact and social interaction with a teacher. So, you know, it's not going to completely, you know, revolutionize learning, you know, in any school, whether it's, you know, a charter or otherwise. But I think in its ability to be able to individually diagnose where a student is, software is inherently, you know, something that listens very well, if you will. You know, we can audit what students do online. We can really process data a lot more. We can delve into, you know, other dimensions of learning that you couldn't do without it. So the information back to a teacher allows, you know, a teacher to be able to intervene in the learning process, you know, to keep the engagement where it needs to be an effective learner.
So you think it'll ultimately rest as some type of hybrid?
Well, it is now somewhat as a hybrid. I think, you know, in the next decade, you'll see, you know, a significant number of school districts and schools using a hybrid model, you know, maybe as much as, you know, 60 or 70%, which it's, you know, really roughly around 10% now. You know, in higher ed, 92% of the institutions have online learning, but I don't know, about 35% really use it with any degree of depth. And you'll see that increase a lot. So
I wondered if we would have, you know, like when we have a school shooting in the future, right, there's going to be fear. And all of a sudden, I would think you might start to see like policies around parents have fear. We're going all online. We're not putting our kid in that environment. And then, there's going to be pockets of that. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, you know, I mean, schools are really challenged right now. I'm not sure there's a whole lot of time to, you know, to sort of debate the topic. But, you know, schools need to create this moonshot experience right now in terms of where we are today and where we need to be. And there's no other way to do it. So, you know, there's really no other choice at this point to be efficient and do it in a really good economic environment.
Yeah, and the other interesting discussion with online education was I was having dinner with a professor the other night, and we were talking about how, because, you know, at the college level, we're seeing this, you know, hybrid model you're talking about, of course. And, you know, one of the interesting things with some online is there's no controls, right? So when you're, you know, you give an exam and we, you know, walk the, you know, you walk up and down the rolls and make sure there's no cheating going on, which is fairly common, right? So when you you can get a guy, and he said, you know what's going to happen at some point? He said, there's going to be a mob guy who sends his guy down to take an MBA from some top-tiered school, because the top-tiered schools are even getting into this. Yeah. Penn is into this, Stanford's into this. And so, you know, and somebody will get the entire degree online, and there'll be no verification, you know, that it was actually him, right? So that's interesting to me, because that's another issue to solve, right? With how do you solve that through online education?
Yeah, it's a difficult one. I mean, you know, part of it is obviously, you know, credentialing is going to require some verification. Credentialing requirements for an institution is going to have, you know, some, and does now, you know, some verification of you know, efficacy of an individual, you know, really engage in that online. And I think that there are certain indicators on what somebody does in a course to understand whether that's really them or not, you know. So, you know, plagiarism software is very prevalent. You know, there's a lot of different technologies that are now emerging in the market that allow us not as a single point of evidence, but multiple points of evidence to really understand what's happening.
So. Interesting. All right, we're speaking with Lou Pulacy, the president of Moodle Rooms. And talk to me a little bit about your overall leadership philosophy.
You know, it's conditional, frankly. I mean, it depends on the company. It depends on the month, perhaps sometimes even the day of what you're dealing with in any given circumstance. So, you know, I don't really manage and lead by one overarching sort of leadership philosophy. You know, there are some founding tenets that you have to manage by. One is that, you know, while there's this gap between long-range strategy and execution, you know, I think if you have hired the right management team and really have communicated well, I think you have to manage an organization in what I would say 1/260 increments, meaning every day. You know, in a business world, what's the accomplishment that you need that aggregates up to a particular goal, as opposed to, you know, trying to manage by strategy alone, really looking at execution, you know, by 1/260, what's happening on that particular day, and is everything you do and teaching employees, you know, is everything you do that day incremental to, you know, the achievement of an overall strategy? And so I think that's, you know, a really key tenet, you know, certainly. I mean, you know, teaching, you know, individual employees to, you know, to be contributors in their own right and being very, very self-aware about, you know, themselves, their capabilities and understanding it, being able to deal, you know, in an environment of adaptability and ambiguity and making the right decisions most of the time, at least with the right information. You know, and I think finally, look, we're out in the learning business. You know, I create learning materials, you know, for institutions to be better at what they do. And we should sort of, in a kind of an irreverent way, eat our own dog food, you know, at the same time. And we should, our organization to be successful should be a learning enterprise, right? So we should be a knowledge enterprise, you know, that shares information and facts, you know, market data, product information, so that everybody can do that 1/260th, mm-hmm. you know, to the best of their ability.
Excellent. Well, Lou, thank you for being on Leaders Portfolio.
Thanks very much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Best of luck with Moodle Rooms.
Thanks a lot.
I also want to thank the supporters of leadership, our sponsors, Dennis Cole Architects, WOW Services Group, Green Tree Surgeons, Riverwalk, and Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia. If you want the federal or business communities to know that your business values leadership, consider sponsorship of Leaders Portfolio. Here's a few words from our sponsors. We'll be back after this.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.
Dennis Coall Architects restored the most significant Beaux Arts building in the state of Virginia, the Hanley Library of Winchester. Be it through new construction, historic preservation, or environmentally friendly design, visit coallarchitects.com. For libraries, museums, corporate buildings, colleges, and specially designed houses, if you want architecture on your agenda, fusing function with beauty, then visit coallarchitects.com. That's K-O-W-A-L architects.com.
Are you a business leader who practices leadership? Apply for the Leaders Portfolio Awards. Have a client who emphasizes leadership? Nominate their company for the Leaders Portfolio Awards. Past winners include startups, as well as a company producing $150 million a year in revenue. Tune in to Leaders Portfolio with Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith on the air and online at leadersportfolio.com. For Leaders Portfolio Awards information, visit leadersportfolio.com.
The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax Hotel near I-66 and 50 provides state-of-the-art guest rooms with complimentary high-speed internet access, a full-service restaurant, business meeting and banquet rooms for up to 300 guests with a professional staff that stays focused on the details so you don't have to, and full banquet catering. Call 703-385-7774 for guest rooms, meeting space, or special events at this award-winning hotel. That's 703-385-7774. The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax.
Do you want others to know how your organization can help them? Then tell the business community why they need your business. Become a proud sponsor of Leaders Portfolio by calling 864-323-2600. By becoming a sponsor, you will be communicating directly with your target audience. Leaders Portfolio offers low-cost sponsorships for high impact, and Leaders Portfolio guarantees results. Let us tell you how by phoning 864-323-2600. That's 864-323-2600.
Dennis Coall Architects restored the most significant Beaux Arts building in the state of Virginia, the Hanley Library of Winchester. Be it through new construction, historic preservation, or environmentally friendly design, visit coallarchitects.com. For libraries, museums, corporate buildings, colleges, and specially designed houses, if you want architecture on your agenda, fusing function with beauty, then visit coallarchitects.com. That's K-O-W-A-L architects.com.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.